We ought not have to wait until it's Thanksgiving for us to tell the Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you for being better to us than we deserve. So as we get ready to hear from the Lord in his word, our lives are so busy. And while we think we do a good job of telling the Lord thank you, we say a quick prayer before we eat. We say a quick prayer before we go to bed at night. But before we just rush through, let's just take a moment right now. When you think, you think. When you think about all that God has brought you out of, brought you over, and brought you through, I've just got to say, thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet all over the building and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, right now, right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just to say thank you. Right now, say, oh, Lord, you've been so good. You've been, oh, so good. Yes, you have. Even when we haven't been, you've been, oh, so, so good. Oh, Lord, you've been so, so good. And right now, I know for some, it's been tough and you don't know how you're going to make it. But tell him, you've made a way. You've made a way. You've made a way. Oh, yeah, you've made. You've made. Sometimes, out what seemed to be no way, but you made. Away. For somebody, you've been feeling lonely, tell him, you've been my friend. My friend. You've been. Late in the midnight hour, you've been my friend. When I felt all alone, Father God, we come right now to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for blessings past, present, and even those on the way. We're grateful to God that you're not through with us. Thankful, Lord, for the fact that when we have not been so good, you've been good. We ask for forgiveness for our sins, our many weaknesses, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our misdeeds, our misgivings. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, will you bless the one to our left and to our right, in front and behind right now, as only you can. Pray for families all over the world. pray for the bereaved right now. Those who are fresh on bereavement. And those who still have memories of loved ones that have gone on home. For some, they're thanking you for the memory of mama. Thanking you for the memory of daddy. Thank you for the memory of the loved ones. And we so not pray for parents who have had a child precede them. Pray for them right now. Pray for those in nursing homes and hospitals. Will you steal away, Lord, and help them to know that you will never leave them nor forsake them? Right now, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's struggling, dear God, wondering how they're going to pay their bills and put food on the table. Pray for the utilities. Lord, we say thank you that things are as well as they are. For some of us, it has been worse. For some of us, it could have been worse. And for some, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So, Lord, we just want to take a moment, because even as I stand as your vessel, and I'm prepared, dear God, to be used by you to pour out this word upon your people. But, Father God, we want to set up an atmosphere for you to dwell. Our coming would be in vain if you were not here. So we thank you. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. There's a hope and prayer that you have felt glorified in this house. Now, Lord, as we prepare to hear word from you, prepare our hearts and our minds, even as you use me as your vessel. Lord, give me clarity of thought and speech. Will you rebuke the devil right now? Who's trying to get in the way? Who's trying to pluck this word out from somebody? Lord, we need a word from you. Surely, we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake forevermore. Let every heart say thank you. Come on, shout thank you. Say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you remain standing as we get ready to hear a word from the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. If you're physically able, we're going to ask that you please stand. If not, we understand. Reading verses 1 through 6 from the New Living Translation, it says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners, spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. On today, we want to conclude our subject under construction. Do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I am under construction. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we will conclude our short series, Under Construction. On last Sunday, we defined a couple of terms. We defined construction and we defined progress and illustrated how they relate to the message that the Holy Spirit has given me. We then developed and introduced a catchphrase, that being the process of progress. Now, I'm not going to have time to repeat any of that today, so I want to encourage you, please, ma'am, and please, sir, for you to pick up a copy of the CD for you to hear and to listen to it, for it will be the foundation of what we will discuss here today. We then analyze within this text the first five verses that this letter that Paul has written to the church at Philippi, while he is in prison in Rome. This is basically a thank you letter to the church of Philippi and the concern and the encouragement that Paul has for each of them. And again, I want to encourage you to please, ma'am and please, sir, to pick up a copy to hear and listen to it, because you're going to hear how I tied the first five verses all together as part of this message that the Lord has placed in my heart coming out of this year's pastoral anniversary in this particular season that we are in, and soon heading into a new year and new decade, 2020. Verse 6 is actually the key verse to this message. Verse 6 is actually where we concluded and where I will begin on today. There are five key points that I want to bring out from this verse. And remember, if you're taking notes, the number five is usually considered to be the symbol of goodness and the grace of God. This, therefore, will be the doctrinal support for everything that I say to you, not only today, but even last week in our introduction. I want you to say this with me as I say it. I don't have it all together, but please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. I am in the process of progress. I am under construction. Verse 6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Paul says in this verse, Keeling, he says, and I am certain that. That's what the New Living Translation says. The NIV, if you're reading that, it says, being confident of this. The New King James Version says, being confident of this very thing. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, Paul is saying, I am full of assurance. I have no doubt. There is no uncertainty. I know that you will make it. I'm talking to somebody in here. You are going to finish. You are under construction now, hear me today, but you will be completed. It may seem like it's a long way away, but I need to encourage somebody here. You will be finished. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Say it with me. I'm under construction, but I'm not doing the building. He is. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on, somebody. Huh? The verse says, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, do you mind, Sister Monique, if I just park right there for a little while? Because while the New Living Translation is clear in defining the builder, come on, somebody, the NIV, the New King James Version, and the King James Version all say it like this: being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work. Now, of course, we teach here when you're reading your Bible that anytime you see the word he and it's the big H, we know that God is talking. But let me just go ahead and break it down for somebody here, because when you're reading the Bible, you need to know who the he is that's doing the building. And we need to understand, I told you I'm coming out of the pastoral anniversary, and I'm thankful for all the accolades, and I'm thankful for the cards, and I'm thankful for all of the gifts and tokens of expression. But the he in the Bible is not Pastor King. Pastor King is not your master builder. He is not the associate ministers. He is not the deacons. He is not the deacons or the ministers' wives. He is not any other man or woman, but he is the Alpha and the Omega. Come on, somebody. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the one that made heaven and earth. He's the lamb that was slain for your sins and mine, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the rock of my salvation. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is God. The verse says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, it is He that is doing the construction. We are under construction, but He is the one that's doing the work. He's the architect. He's the engineer. He's the designer. He's the master builder. The first point I want to draw from this text here in verse 6 is that this work is providential. We need to understand that Jesus is still in control. I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what MSNBC says. Jesus is in control. And you and I are under construction, but you need to know that it is a divine design of God. He's doing the work. Therefore, watch the text. That's why Paul says, I am confident, my God, that you will be finished. Now watch this. He says, you will be finished. Not that you will finish. See, I just said something right there. See, some of y'all said a long time ago, I'm finished. Come on, somebody. Mm-mm. Now, he didn't say that you will finish. He said that you will be finished. He said, I'm certain that God, who begun the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished. You and I are under construction, and it's a divine design, for we are being formed into His image and likeness. Do you remember what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18 and 6? He said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. We are under construction. In other words, Brother Miller, we are clay in His hands, and He is the one, I'm talking to somebody, He is the one who decides what the outcome is going to look like. I don't care what it looks like to you. I don't care how bleak it seems. He is the one who would decide the outcome and what it's going to look like. Listen, I'm going to leave this point here for a moment, but bear with me if you don't mind for just a little while longer. And I want you to join me and put on your spiritual imagination thinking cap. Think about this. We are pieces of marble or blocks of stone. So imagine Jesus saying to us, I'm going to make you into a wonderful masterpiece. Of course, we are the stone and the marble. And we say, yes, Lord, I want to be made into something wonderful. All of a sudden, Samaya Jesus grabs a hammer and a chisel and begins to chop, and He begins to slice away at us. Of course, you got your, listen now, anytime folks are beating on you and hammering and chisel, so we say, wait a minute, Jesus. You said, I mean, you know, we like to remind God of what He said. Come on, somebody. You said you were going to make me into something wonderful. Then why are you hitting me with the hammer? Why are you chiseling and knocking all of this stuff off of me? Amen. And Jesus says, listen, you know that Jesus don't mind your questions. Come on, somebody. Jesus does not mind us going to us and talking to Him, but just be allow Him to talk back. Come on, somebody. So we talk to Jesus, and then Jesus says, listen, I want to make you into my image, but that means I got to get rid of some stuff. He's saying, you got some malice I must get rid of. You have some jealousy that I got to cut away. You got some bitterness that needs to be buffed out. That's some lust that needs to be taken out of your flesh. So He cuts and He chisels and He bluffs and he grinds. Remember, it's a process. So then you still got your thinking cap on? Then he puts the chisel and the hammer down for a night. And you know what happens? We say weeping may endure, but joy. So we thank God he done put the hammer down. Come on, somebody. We thank God. You know, y'all love to get all spiritual. So he weeping may, and joy comes in the morning. So he puts the hammer down for the night. We get excited, but you know what happens? Is we love to put our hands in God's business. So we get excited and we put our hands into what God is doing, and then we get all messed up. And so while you say that joy cometh in the morning, guess what? Jesus is coming to see about us. And he sees that what he has done is now all messed up. Why? Because we have put our hands in it. We put our hands on it. And Jesus asks, what happened? You know what we do? We do it every Sunday. We do it every time we get up and we just go lay down. We confess our sins. Come on, somebody. And we say, you know what, Jesus? I messed up. I'm so sorry. And then, you know, we love to quote scripture back to Jesus. So we say, create in me a clean heart. You know what we do. Come on, somebody. And renew within me a right spirit. So guess what Jesus does? He picks the hammer back up. Come on, somebody. He picks the chisel back up. And he begins to hammer and chisel away and cut away and grind and buff out our impurities in our life, trying to make us into his image. You can take your cap off now. Because here's what I'm trying to say to you. The reason why you have been going through that trial, I'm talking to somebody. The reason why you've been going through that tribulation is because you are under construction. And you are in the process of progress. It's providential. And you need to remember that God is in control. And why is that important? Why do I keep hammering that point? Because if we were in control, some of us think we're the boss anyway. If we were in control, surely, come on now, I need some honest folk, we would do things differently. I don't know about you, but there wouldn't be as much struggle. Come on, somebody. There wouldn't be as many hard times. But my brothers and my sisters, it's because of the struggle that you're going to be what God intended you to be, not just who you want to be. This work is providential to help make you what God envisioned. It's not only going to be on the screen. I want you to take some paper out and a pen. Write this word down. Image. I-M-A-G-E. We love to say that. I want to be made in God's image. I want to be made in God's image. Write that down. Image. I-M-A-G-E. You know I love words. So when the Holy Spirit gave it to me, he said, well, what are you talking to me? What do you mean when you say, I know what I mean. I'm going to get to it. I know what I mean when I see you in my image. But what do you mean when you say, Lord, make me in your image? Write this down. Imagine me as God envisioned. Image. Imagine me as God envisioned. I'm going to fix that. See, that's what we need to do. We need to imagine ourselves. So sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Some of y'all, when you look in the mirror, you don't like what you see. So our social media has spent so much time on a platform of photoshopping. We crop, we lighten, we brighten, we add color. We do all of this stuff. Got folk looking at your picture. They want to look. Is that really you? And we want to get likes and all of this stuff. And they say, girl, child, you look good. But that's not how you really feel and look on the inside. imagine me as God in vision. That's the first point. This work is providential. Second point is this. This work is progressive. Not only is this work providential, this work is progressive. Watch this. Watch the text. He says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you. If you got a New King James, it says this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you. I need to put another pin in it right there. Teaching this house, Holy Ghost. Watch this. Listen, watch this. Begun is the past participle of begin. In other words, God didn't just begin working on you. Come on, somebody. No. God begun this work in eternity past. Can I teach in this house? He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Listen, before you were even born, Jamon, God started working on you and each of you and me for salvation. Forming you to his image and his likeness. He begun the work, hear me today, before your mother and father even had a spark in their eye. I'm talking to the young people here. He was already working on you. Watch this, I got to back into this. But since the work is progressive, he needed the process of human life. Teach, Holy Ghost. So your mother and your father came together as the vessels that God used to place you into the human realm. And that's why you got to be careful. I don't care what your mom and daddy told you. You wasn't an oops baby. Come on, somebody. You wasn't no look what us did. You, listen, you weren't a mistake because God doesn't make mistakes. Let me fix it for you. 127 Psalms in verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Amen. So regardless of what you feel or what you think about your mother or your father, God utilized your mother and your father to bring you. And he sees you as a masterpiece. Brought you this masterpiece to the human realm to shape and develop your character to be like him. I know folk like to say, you act like your daddy. Act like your mama. And sometimes they don't tell you that, and that's a compliment. Huh? Sometimes they say, you act just like your daddy. You say, thank you. Mm-mm. I'm my daddy's child. Yeah, okay. But God is even saying, listen, don't even get caught up in that. I'd used your mother and your father to bring you. You are my masterpiece. Listen, and because he has envisioned you in a certain way, it's a process. And it's going to take a lifetime. So quit trying to rush life. And quit trying to become somebody who you're not and be proud of who God made you as. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, watch this, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is the process of progress. Fred Hammond, y'all love the dance to Fred Hammond. When he say glory to glory, to glory to glory, to glory to glory, to God, that's more than just a beat for you to dance to. That's the process of progress. That's in the Word of God. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Therefore, the second point, just from this verse, is that this work is progressive. But then the third point from this verse is that this is a positive work. This is positive. Watch this. Positive meaning it's measured or moving forward. You're moving in a direction of increase. It's characterized or displayed by an acceptance or an affirmation. This is good work. You are good work. Verse says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you. In other words, this work is good, meaning having the qualities that are desirable or distinguishing in the likeness or the image of Christ. It's good work because it's going to serve to its desired end or purpose. You all know that verse in Jeremiah 29:11. We love to quote. And most people, when they quote Jeremiah 29:11, they quote the NIV. For I know the plans that I have for you. That's a good translation. That is in the Bible. But the New King James Version says it like this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But wait a minute. The King James even says it like this in the end. To give you an expected end. My God. It's an expected. This stuff ain't sneaking up on God. We don't serve a God who's sitting in heaven scratching his head on what to do with you and me. He's dealt with a dead Jesus. He said to give you an expected end. In other words, this is a good work. And I'm an honest preacher. That simply means I know it doesn't always feel good. That's honest. This stuff doesn't feel good all the time. But we must understand that it may not feel good, but Crutchfield is good for you. And it's good not because we're doing the work. See, we think we're doing good just because we showed up to church. Come on, somebody. It's a good work because he is doing the work and he knows what the end is going to be, and it's going to be in his image. So I need you to speak to yourself what I wrote. Imagine me as God envisioned. And again, I'm talking to my young people, so I'm glad you all are here. Because we got to be careful trying to live into an image that somebody else thinks looks good on us, for us, because of us. Because that'll change like the wind. And my Bible tells me that my God never changes. That my God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we all need to speak. David said he needed to encourage himself some days in the Lord. Imagine me as God envisioned. Got to be careful living into some of these labels. We got to be careful putting labels on ourselves. We also got to be careful limiting ourselves. Sometimes we think we are at a disadvantage because of where we were born and who we were born to. Take your mother and father out the equation and you put yourself in the hands of God. And you imagine yourself as God envisioned. The third point I'm saying is this is a positive work. But the fourth point from this verse is that this work is personal. His work is personal. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you. Do me a favor, repeat after me. He's working in me and not just on me. Good. I just said something. I'm going to help y'all understand it. Huh? Say it again. He's working in me and not just on me. Why is that important? Because if the work is only being done on me, cool, Jesus, teach Holy Ghost, I will only have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Matthew 23, 27 and 28 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly, watch this, appear righteous to me, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Listen, if the work is only done on me, then I'll look holy on the outside. But on the inside, I'll still be dead, decaying, and a putrid mess. And I just can't understand, and we've all fallen privy to it. I can't understand how we try to take certain stuff off and put certain stuff on, and I get it, depending on what day it is. So, of course, we got our Monday through Friday attitude, thoughts, and behavior. But then we got our Sunday morning best. Come on, somebody. Attitude and behavior. We got our Monday through Friday while we at school and work fussing and complaining. But when we got Sunday morning, so we can take that off, but then put on that smile, and we stand at the door, and we stand in the choir, and we stand behind the sacred desk. You know, we take off the makeup and the lipstick from last night. Come on, somebody. And put on the Sunday morning makeup and lipstick. This morning's lipstick is not as bright and ruby. Come on, somebody. We take off or we turn off Megan Thee Stallion and Frankie Beverly and Luther Vandross and Biggie and Tupac. Monday through Saturday, we turn on Sunday morning. Fred Hammond and Jay Moss and all of that stuff. And we say, I got to get ready. I got to get my spirit right because I'm going to church. From the pulpit to the door. Some of y'all saying, dang, Reverend. And we take off. Saturday night dress. Saturday night suits. And we put on our black and our all white and our robes because it's Sunday morning. Amen. The problem is why we want to come dressed for church and look holy on the outside. On the inside. And this is what we're not dealing with. And that's why some folk got the nerve to leave church the same way they came in. Because all we want to do is address the outward. And God says, I'm not concerned with the outward appearance. I search the heart. What's in your heart? For some of y'all, they saying good morning, but you don't know what they thinking about you. That's why my great-grandmother, may she rest in peace, she would always say to me when I was knee-high, that's a country term, some of y'all don't know that. She would say, baby, I would rather drink from a cup that was dirty on the outside. but clean on the inside than to ever drink from a cup that was clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. You ever been to a restaurant and they serve you a drink in your glass and it looks good on the outside until you get ready to take a drink and you say, something's in this. Now, and do you drink it? No, you tell them, take this back. I don't want any of that. The problem is, that's what God says to us, and we think we're fooling folks. See, if the Lord is working in me, teach Holy Ghost, then that what comes out of me will be changed. The Bible says in Matthew 15:11, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So look here, Brother Griffith, I mean, if the work is done on me, then the folk get on my nerves. Come on, somebody. Talked about that Monday through Friday, Miss Stephanie. Come on, somebody. If the folk get on my nerves and the folk want to cuss me out, you know, been in customer service, you trying to help them and you getting cussed out. Come on, somebody. Folk want to cuss me out. I mean, come on now. You know what it is. I mean, you cuss me, I might have to. Come on now. But if the work is done in me and you cuss me out, I'm going to at least seek, come on somebody, to do as the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. But Brother Jackie, help them keep in mind that God's not through with me yet. Come on, somebody. I'm seeking. Come on, somebody. I ain't there yet. I'm just saying. But because the work is being done in me, then what's coming out of me is not retribution. It's not retaliation, but a desire to see your soul saved. Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, which is you, is that they, which is you, might be saved. That's it. So the fourth point is, this work is personal. So we have providential, we got progressive, we have positive, we have personal. And then there's the fifth point. And remember, the number 5 in the Bible represents grace. So the fifth point, just from this one verse, Philippians 1:6, the fifth point is, this work is promised. Hallelujah. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You need to know that's a promise. This work is promised. So as I get ready to close, I said the number 5 in the Bible represents grace. And these 5 points that God has given to me through the power of the Holy Spirit shows the grace of God working on you and working on me. The providential work, that's grace. For God, he is doing the work. The progressive work, that's grace, because he's taking you and he's taking me from glory to glory. Po- positive work. That's grace, because he's a good God. And he's doing a good work in you and in me. Personal work, that's grace, because he's not just working on you. He's not just working on me, but he's working in you and he's working in me to shape us to his image and likeness. Then this promise work, why is that grace? It's grace because he will be the one that completes what he has started in you and in me to that expected end. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, family. And remember, that means all of you. Because even if you come this morning as a guest or as a visitor, we like to let you know every Sunday that we treat our guests and our visitors like friends. And we treat our friends like family. So I'm speaking to you, all of you, as the family of God, as a part of the family of the First Baptist Church West College Hill family. So family, I stand here blessed to be the under shepherd of this God's house. And having been so for the past 14 years and until his expected end of the season of serving. But this one thing I'm here to let you know, and that is I am confident that the work he has begun in you and the work that he has begun in me, that he will carry to completion until we are conformed to his image and likeness, and until he brings us into eternal life with him. It is then and only then will the work that he begun in us before we were even in our mother's womb will be complete. So until then, I need you to join in with me, and I need to join with you, because I will bless the Lord at all times, come on somebody, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Why? Because God is not through with us yet. So somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, it is said that Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, has on her tombstone these words: end of construction. Thanks for your patience. End of construction. Thanks for your patience. So I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to absorb something in your spirit for yourself and for those around you in your family, your close circle of friends, to my young people at school, your classmates, even your church family. Because we have to understand that we're coming up on a season of Thanksgiving, and some folk are hosting, and some of y'all hosting folk you don't even want in your house. And I need y'all to pray. You got to get your spirit right. And for some of y'all, you're not hosting, but you're going to somebody's house who was hosting, and you really don't want to go. So we got to watch our spirits. And it's that same spirit we got to watch when we even come into the house of the Lord. We got to do more than just put on robes. We got to do more than just wear black suits because it's Communion Sunday, and then feel bad that we're out of uniform because it's Communion Sunday and I'm not wearing black and I might be wearing blue. It used to be a time folk didn't even want to stand. Used to be a time folk almost got sent home because we were dressing folk from the outside in than from the inside out. And it's no different than when you at a restaurant and you or at a hospital. You don't woke folk dealing with you or caring with you that don't care, caring for you that don't care about what they're doing. But along the way, we're going to have to learn to be patient with ourselves and patient with one another. Quit trying to rush the process and quit trying to put your hands in God's business. I don't care how much you Photoshop, how much you lighten and brighten, you are still beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. You are a gift from God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are a reward. My God. So I want you to say this, and we're going to all say it together. It should be up there on your screen. You're all together ready? Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when God gets through with me, I shall come forth in his image and likeness. In the meantime, I am in the process of progress. It does not yet appear what I shall be, because right now I am under construction. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open.